Please pray with me. Holy God, your blessings are abundant. Your wisdom exceeds our grasp. Fill us with your Spirit as we hear your word today, so that we may be justice seekers and peacemakers, sharing your life among those who are forgotten, weak or persecuted, and revealing your glory to all. Amen. The Old Testament lesson today is Micah chapter 6, verses 1 through 8. Stand up, plead my case before the mountains. Let the hills hear what you have to say. Hear, you mountains, the Lord's accusation. Listen, you everlasting foundations of the earth. For the Lord has a case against his people. He is lodging a charge against Israel. My people, what have I done to you? How have I burdened you? Answer me. I brought you up out of Egypt and redeemed you from the land of slavery. I sent Moses to lead you, also Aaron and Miriam. My people, remember what Balak, king of Moab, plotted, and what Balaam, son of Beor, answered. Remember your journey from Shittim to Gilgal, that you may know the righteous acts of the Lord. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow down before the exalted God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000 rivers of olive oil? Shall I offer my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has shown you, O mortal, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God.
Come to the feast and remember a manger bed prepared. The shepherds who knelt in silence, the infant cradled there. Recall how they saw with wonder his tiny feet and hands. Remember the nails that pierced them, the Lord, the child, the man. To the feast and
Uh-oh, here she comes. Thank you. Look at all these dogs and Minnie Mouses and roses, and you got flowers. Is that a unicorn? Oh, my good. I love unicorns.
About this trip for Christmas?
Yes. Well, that was like a month ago.
I know.
And you still have the shirt? Mm-hmm. Cool. It didn't evaporate with the Christmas tree when it came down?
No.
Okay. So have you been enjoying school? Yeah?
I mostly got good grades on my report card.
You mostly got good grades on the report card.
The last Friday we had, my parent-teacher conference.
Yeah?
Uh-huh.
Parent-teacher conference went okay?
Yeah.
Cool. That is good. Well, you know, we just read a few words that are kind of big. And you all might want to, I just thought we'd unpack them. We'd figure them out for us, okay? Because they're big words. And they do fit in with school, believe it or not, okay? Look at that. You've got a unicorn too. We got two unicorns up here, guys. Two. We read that we are supposed to do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with God. Those are big words, aren't they? Any idea how you can do justice? Yes?
You can believe in the word of God and do good things for people around you.
Believe in God, God's word, and do good things for people around you? Yes. It means helping people and acting with the way you'd want them to take care of you, right?
We're learning that in religion at school.
You're learning that at school. Cool. I love it. Well, you know, kindness fits into that too, doesn't it? Because if you're taking care of people like you want them to be to you, that's kind, right? Yes, you do, and she sparkles, doesn't she? Yeah. Yeah. How are you two kind to other people? Do you go to bed when your mom says to or when grandma says to? That's kind, isn't it? How are you kind to people?
I do my chores.
You do your chores? That's kind to mom, isn't it? Yeah. Do you do something?
Every time when I go to a playground and I see someone, if they're hurt or bleeding, I don't know why, but I just have a band-aid in my pocket when I go to the playground, so I give them one.
Whoa. You help someone by giving them a band-aid when they're at the playground and have hurt themselves.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool. That's cool. You are helping them to heal. That is treating them as you would hope they would treat you. And that is acting with kindness. What about... really? She does have puppies on her dress. Yes. Boy puppies and girl puppies. Right. Yeah, puppies. So I've got a question. What does it mean to be humble and walk with God? Yeah?
Not brag or be rude.
Don't brag. I'd say she's learned a lot at her school. Yeah? Do you agree with that?
Yep.
Yep. Not to brag. And not to say, well, I'm nice because God told me to. Right? You're just doing what God wants you to do. You're being kind. And helping people to be the way that you would want them to treat you, okay? So that's what I wanted to share with you ladies today. To love justice and be kind, treat people like you want to be treated, and be kind to them. and not brag about it to the world, because that's walking humbly with God. Okay? Want to say a quick prayer? Thank you, God, for all your gifts, for letting us give Band-Aids to kids who are hurt, and to be kind to them and not brag. Thank you, God, for letting us be your daughters and teaching us good things. Amen. Amen. You may go back and take. Yeah, don't forget. Bye. I'm going to work off this mic today rather than try and switch things around. So, let's be clear. I have always loved the New Revised Standard Version of the Bible. But the words and the grammatical structure of the Common English Bible are far more in keeping with how we speak today. They allow us to hear Jesus in ways we may not have considered before, so it's easier to understand them than if we were to read the NRSV, which is what is in your pews, and I love that. I want them there. You know, it's the one that I go to whenever I'm trying to get a handle on deeper meanings of God's word. But there's a big difference between the two and how they present today's reading from Matthew, okay? So I'm going to start reading the Matthew 5, 1 through 12 with the CEB. We're just going to start there. Now, when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up a mountain. He sat down, and his disciples came to him. And he taught them, saying, "Happy are people who are hopeless, because the kingdom of heaven is theirs. Happy are people who grieve, because they will be made glad. Happy are people who are humble, because they will inherit the earth." Happy? Happy? It feels to me like the CEB translators missed the mark in their choice to use happy instead of blessed. The words, for me at least, call to mind that old Bob Marley song. Don't worry, be happy. That was Marley, right? Thank you. Who was it? Bobby Farron. My bad. Don't worry, be happy. But, you know, that's not really what this is about. How can someone not worry and feel happy if she or he is poor or grieving a loss, as several of you are doing? You're grieving. Not only that, but what is happiness? The Merriam-Webster dictionary tells us that happy is, and I quote, "delighted, pleased, or glad over a particular thing." To me, it feels as though happy is a short-lived emotion. Something that lasts just a moment and then goes away. Meanwhile, our friend, the good old New Revised Standard Version, tells us, I got to get back to five, tells us this about the same passage. One more page. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For in the same way, they persecuted the prophets who were before you. This is God's word for God's people. Thanks be to God. So, blessed. Blessed, we say. It's a word for the books, you know. It's one of those that we hear all the time as we go about our daily lives. For instance, a man is out there on the golf course and he tells his colleague, "Yeah, my career has been blessed." As if the benefits of having an incredibly successful career is a gift straight from God. Well, yeah, God is in control of our lives. But that kind of blessed is not what Jesus is talking about here. He isn't about being fortunate in the world. So what is he saying? Well, he seems to be describing some certain truths of a spiritual life. For instance, I think we all believe that people who have lost a loved one and mourn that loss are living in God's tender care. We keep them in our prayers. We surround them with love and support as they walk through those dark valleys. Offering this kind of care is one way that we serve as Christ's body on earth, and it's important work. It is good to comfort those who are mourning. But we can also provide spiritual care for people who mourn when they see that the current state of affairs in this world are far from what God wants for us. Our souls may be drained when we hear that women right here in Zanesville are being sold into prostitution. Yet we somehow hear God's call to reach out to them in comfort. Our hearts break when we remember that children here in Zanesville are neglected because their parents have so little hope for their own lives that they'd rather escape into the hazy poison of drugs. And we wonder to God what can be done to lift these kids and their parents out of that fog. And we know intellectually and spiritually that God does not want the numbers of teens committing suicide to keep jumping up as it has over the last 10 years. This 56% increase here in Ohio is an overwhelming figure. And the number of adults that are doing the same has also been climbing. This is all so hard to bear. Were their lives blessed? Can we be God's blessing to them? These serious issues have been on my mind a lot lately. Since arriving here, I've been called to sit with folks who are living with each of these horrors. It isn't something I expected would be a part of my ministry. After all, we are Presbyterians. Violence and exploitation are not part of our church, right? Maybe not. But the world comes to our doorstep. People drag their burdens to our portico out here and pray that that little bit of shelter will be enough to keep the worst of the storm off their backs. They may not have thought about God in a long, long while, but this place is where they come for help. They don't know where else to turn. These people are not just financially poor. Their hearts are filled with despair. They are empty of hope for the future. They are beyond financial poverty. They are poor in spirit. And we cannot help but mourn these situations. Now, I believe that as a community of faith who hunger and thirst for righteousness, just as Melody talked about this morning, we search for justice. We search for giving hope to all people who are abused, downtrodden, or who live without hope of a better future. And today we hear Jesus' words, which help us remember God's promise. And we are comforted. For here our hearts are being filled, and soon and very soon God will bring healing to all the world. The kingdom of heaven is coming, and all will be welcomed home. That's what Scripture says. And these blessings are truths of our spiritual lives. They aren't just meant to be felt by someone who is grieving a loss. These are the deeper concerns that are held gently within Jesus' words of blessing. Now, surprisingly, most of these words were intended for the disciples who had traveled with him to that mountainside there by the Sea of Galilee. We always think of the Beatitudes as going out to the people all over the hillside. And yes, those crowds did hear him. But it said that the disciples came with him and he was teaching them, really. He was teaching them some very powerful lessons. For instance, if one of them were to show kindness, you know, mercy, towards the person who has wronged him, Jesus promised that when the disciple turns away from God in sin, and it is a given that each one will turn away, that God would bear with them and show them compassion when their lives are judged. And if one of those men were to try to serve as a bridge to bring people together who are fighting, that peacemaker would be mending the tears in the fabric of the community. He would be healing God's world, and in so doing, he would be behaving as an honorable child of the King of Peace. You see, blessings work in a strange and wondrous way. God is always present, even where we least expect God to be, in our brokenness and in the brokenness of the world. God chooses to bless that which the world refuses to bless. Love what the world calls unlovable, and redeem what the world does not believe merits saving. So Jesus and his followers, or Jesus's followers here, 9 different possibilities for them to remember as they live their lives, the blessings. Each statement offers them an opportunity to reach out to a hurting world in God's love. Each one offers them an opportunity to bless another human being, another one of God's own. And by holding true to each one, the disciples would serve the God who remembers God's own promise of real life. That is, life everlasting through faith. And that is quite a life-giving lesson if there ever was one. And each of these 9 is a powerful gift in its own right. Each offers a way faith-filled folks can say thank you to God for the gift of life by serving others. And yet, taken together, they offer the big picture, the vision of what it means to be a child of God and a brother or sister to Christ. Still, I don't believe that Jesus intended them to be the only ways his disciples could honor God. These Beatitudes are simply the short list of attitudes and actions that we can employ as peacemakers and healers in a broken world. They aren't a comprehensive list of things that will draw a person into God's kingdom. So I wonder, how might we bless one another? How might you bless the value of those not ordinarily seen as people God chooses to bless or to love? I'm not talking about pitying those folks, but blessing them. And how might this church, this body of Christ, older though we may be, do likewise? It's a puzzlement. Something to think about, something to pray about. Jesus constantly reminds us that God's kingdom isn't a place far away. It is found whenever, out of gratitude to God for our lives, we honor each other as God's children. We bear each other's burdens. We bind each other's wounds with band-aids on playgrounds. And we meet each other's needs. And that's what it is to live a blessed life, a thankful life, and in some ways, a happy life. May it be so. Amen. Will you please rise as you are able, that we might state our belief using the words of the brief statement of faith that was written in 1983 for our church. We trust in God, the Holy Spirit, everywhere the giver and renewer of life. The Spirit justifies us by grace through faith, sets us free to accept ourselves and to love God and neighbor, and binds us together with all believers in the one body of Christ, the church. The same Spirit who inspired the prophets and apostles rules our faith and life in Christ through Scripture, engages us through the word proclaimed, claims us in the waters of baptism, feeds us with the bread of life and the cup of salvation, and calls women and men to all ministries of the church, In a broken and fearful world, the Spirit gives us courage to pray without ceasing, to witness among all peoples to Christ as Lord and Savior, and to unmask idolatries in church and culture, to hear the voices of people long silenced, and to work with others for justice, freedom, and peace. You may be seated and remember these words as we give thankfully to God from what God has given us. Will the ushers please come forward to receive the morning offering?
Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for these offerings that we are able to give. We pray that you will use them to support our congregation, this building, and our outreach programs as we continue to give to others this week. Amen.
This, my friends, is the Lord's table. It is not a Presbyterian table. It is not our home kitchen table. And yet our Savior invites those who trust him to come and share in the feast which he has prepared for us. Friends, what shall we offer for all of God's goodness toward us? Let us lift up the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. Let us pray. O gracious God, it is right and our greatest joy to give you thanks and praise. You are holy, O God of majesty, and blessed is Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. We praise you that in the fullness of time you revealed your love by sending him to be the light of the world. As one of us, he knows our joys and sorrows and our struggles with temptation. He was like us in every way except sin. In him, we see what you created us to be, and so came to heal our brokenness and set before us the ways of justice and peace. Therefore, we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels and with all of the faithful of every time and place who forever sing to the glory of your name. Remembering all your mighty and merciful acts, we take this bread and this wine from the gifts you have given us, and we celebrate with joy the redemption won for us in Jesus Christ. Accept this, our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving, as a living and holy offering of ourselves, that our lives may proclaim the one crucified and risen. Gracious God, pour out your Holy Spirit upon us and upon these, your gifts of bread and wine, that the bread we break and the cup we bless may be the communion of the holy body and blood of Christ. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, that we may be one with all who share this feast, united in ministry in every place. As this bread is Christ's body for us, send us out to be the body of Christ in the world, through Christ, with Christ, in Christ, and in the unity of the Holy Spirit. All glory and honor are yours, Almighty God, now and forever. Amen. Now, my friends, let us pray the words that Jesus taught his disciples, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. On the night of his arrest, the Lord Jesus took bread, and after he gave thanks and blessed it, he broke it and gave it to the disciples, saying, This is my body broken for you. Eat of it, and do so always remembering me. And in the same way, he took the cup. And he said, This cup is the new covenant sealed in my blood, which has been spilt for you and for the forgiveness of sin. Whenever you drink of it, do so remembering me. Whenever we eat of this bread and drink of this cup, we proclaim the saving death of the risen Lord until he comes yet again. My friends, these are the gifts of God for the people of God. Let us celebrate in the feast together. This is the bread of life that has been broken for you. Take and eat. This is the cup of salvation. This is the cup of salvation. The cup of salvation for you. This is the cup of salvation. Drink of it, remembering him. Let us pray. Almighty God, your Son, Jesus Christ, fed the hungry with the bread of his life and the word of his kingdom. In this bread and wine, you have renewed us with your heavenly grace. We ask now that you sustain us for our journeys by your true and living bread. We pray this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen and amen. Let us sing the first three verses of I'm Gonna Live So God Can Use Me. Anytime. My friends, as you go out into the world this week, I encourage you to live, work, and pray so God can use you, and sing his praises to all you meet. Bless them with your presence. Bless them with your work to treat them as you would have them treat you. Bless them with your kindness. And bless them by walking humbly with God. Go knowing that the love of God, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the peace of the Holy Spirit goes with you now and always.
I'm gonna live.